First Peter chapter number 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. Come, let us commune together. Perhaps the greatest joy that I experience, and I think that I can speak for others tonight that are pastoring, perhaps the greatest joy is that when you see people coming together.
All right.
And you look and you see these people that once upon a time did not know one another.
All right.
But because of some place called church.
All right. Well.
They come and beautiful relationships are birthed from there. I think that the reason that the coming together, the oneness is so powerful is because when people come together, there's nothing that they can't accomplish. The significance of oneness is that we can build buildings. We can impact our communities. We can even tear down sin through the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so when we all come together and we all find that we're on one accord, on one sheet of music, we have to credit the pastor in part for that.
Amen.
You know, Habakkuk says, write the vision.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
Make it plain. Pastor, the vision is not for you because you know what God said to you.
Yes, sir.
So he says, you write it for they that read it.
Yes, they that read it. Yes, sir. That's the book.
Yes.
They can run with it.
Yes, sir.
And so when you write the vision, you look at them that you share the vision with, and they grab the vision and they begin to make the vision come together.
All right.
Yes. You can then sit back and say, when God spoke something, when God showed me something, when God gave vision, he also provided for the vision.
Yes,
now, wherever God sends you to, if God has sent you, you don't have to worry about paying for it. How many of you know that God will make a way out of no way? How many of you know when you take one step, God will take two, and three, and four, and nine steps, because you crazy enough to believe him?
Yes, sir.
Come on, sir.
Yellow.
The power of oneness.
Yes.
Is that when we all come together, we also have to be like-minded people.
Right.
Yes, Lord.
We just can't come together. We have to be on the same sheet of music.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When we're on the same sheet of music, what we understand about the music sheet is that everybody don't sing alike. In other words, you can't do what I do and I can't do what you do. But if you say your lane and I say my lane, together we're going to pull something off for God. Come, let us commune together.
Yes, sir.
Now, what I mean by commune, I mean that we come into union.
All right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
When you come into union, that means that there is peace among us.
All right.
Hallelujah.
The power of sitting down, breaking bread with your brothers and sisters. You know when you sit down, excuse me, I'm punching out. When you sit down and you just want to sit down and break bread, you like to know that in the presence of those I'm eating with, I can share just a little bit. I can tell you about my day, and I really don't have to worry about you taking my day and running and calling somebody and telling them because I know you're praying for me. And so we sit down together and we begin to break bread together. And as we begin to break bread together, our relationship, the bond that we have together, it begins begins to strengthen.
Amen.
Because I shared something about me and you shared something about you. And when we come into union, that is, there's a meeting of the mind and a meeting of the spirit. The Bible declares where two or three is gathered in the name of Jesus, that he's in the midst. And I want you to know tonight, when you begin to invite God in your troubles, they're no longer your troubles, they're his troubles. And you better believe he cannot fail. He will not fail. You just gotta trust him. Us to sit down and to break bread together.
Jesus.
We come to church. And I don't want to be the bearer of bad news tonight, but we really don't come to church just for you. Some folk in the church think that church spins around them. To you tonight, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everybody else who understand I'm just a link in this thing called church. And all I do is assemble together. And when I come together, I simply say, Lord, have your way. Do you want me to sweep today? Or do you want me to mop today? Or do you want me to clean windows today? Or do you want me to pray? It makes no difference. I was glad when they said, let us go. Where other believers are. And so here it is, we come together. When we come together,
oh yes, Lord,
we assemble.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, yes, Lord.
And we meet someone there.
All right now.
We meet the praise leader there.
All right.
No, not music.
All right.
We meet the praise leader there.
Yes,
the one on Monday when the church front door was locked, he came through the back door and he began to praise. When you're going through something, the one that you can get on the phone and you can call him, and it seems like he's never too busy, makes no difference. When the last time you've been to church, he's still there for you. You come in and there's the shepherd. The shepherd has two primary responsibilities. Responsibility number one of the shepherd is protection.
Yes, Lord.
No, he's not going to fight for you. He's just going to pray for you. He's just going to pray with you. He's just going to invite God to come and to put a hedge of protection all around you and all around this building so that it doesn't matter what the world is going through. Baby, you are right because you're communing with God. Because you got somebody that's touching and agreeing with you. You better come on and praise God and thank God for a shepherd over this house tonight. He'll protect you. He'll pray for you. He'll pray that nothing bad happen for you. His job here is for protection, number one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, God.
And now that you're protected, responsibility number two is that of provision.
All right.
Provision. In other words, he got to supply some things for you. He got to give you some stuff. Y'all got to excuse me tonight, but I'm at home. So that's what you said.
Yes, sir. All right.
So me, just put it, man. I'm good. Just put it, boy.
Glory to God.
Amen. And so because there's provision in the house. When there's provision in the house, whatever, there's a handkerchief in there. I need that thing. When there's provision, I'm country, y'all gotta excuse me. When there's provision in the house, because we are communing together and we're all touching and agreeing, you can't get your blessing in this house without it rubbing off on me. Because we're in the same house, sitting under the same anointing. See, what you gotta understand is that you don't have to hate your neighbor. Baby, when you get yours, I'm next in line. I'm sitting right next to you. So when the blessings come to you, baby, I can praise God with you because I must be next in line for my blessing. I certainly thank God that we're in a place where the anointing flows. I told you Mother Swift is an anointing. Somebody gonna get there before you leave. Somebody came tonight because you're gonna get a breakout tonight. Somebody came tonight because God is gonna open a massive door for you, a supernatural door. Somebody's gonna get there tonight. Peter begins to write. And as Peter begins to write, Peter opens up in chapter number 4. And Peter talks about suffering.
Yes, Lord.
Now, Peter.
That's right, glory.
Just in case you didn't get it.
Yes.
I didn't come to church to talk about no suffering.
Have mercy.
But Peter said, but you got to go through something so that when you get your blessing,
that's right,
you can handle your blessing. See, sometimes we're so quick to get something that when we get it and we didn't earn it, we can't keep it. So you enjoy it for a day, and then the next day you're back to where you were. God, who? I can drive this car everywhere but church. Oh, I don't need it. I got my blessing. See, but that's why God sometimes is so slow to give it, because he wants to purify you. He wants you to suffer through. We say, okay, Peter, hurry up and talk about suffering. Then go ahead and get to chapter number 5 where we can talk about some lessons and all that kind of stuff. And you see, and Peter takes the time in chapter number 4 and he writes about the suffering.
Yes, he does.
The things that you have to go through.
All right, man.
That your mindset got to be the same mindset of Christ. In other words, I got to train you. I got to make you a disciple before I can give you. Now, a disciple is a person that is in training. And when you come to church and your pastor says, do this, he's not beating on you. He's all trying to train you based on what God is giving him, because he has a vision. Taking the house, so he knows what the house needs. But oh no, I don't want to do that. Just make me somewhere special, and I don't want to deal with the small stuff.
All right,
baby, it's the small stuff.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's the small stuff.
That's right.
That teaches the big lesson.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's the stuff that we perceive as being so small that it didn't make a difference. That Satan slipped. And he tricks us off the small stuff. Oh, what difference does it make if I steal an ink pen from work? Baby, a theft is a theft and a thief is a thief, no matter what you stole. So what God is trying to teach us is character. And character is what you are, how you perform when nobody's watching. When the pastor is out of town, do you still do what you're supposed to do? Or you wait for him to come up and then you want to be seen? And see, what God is teaching us in the midst of suffering, I'm developing character.
All right.
I got 2 points I want to share with you.
All right.
About being an elder, an overseer of a house.
All right now.
Point number 1 is very, very simple. So don't miss it. Your pastor has to have a tender heart.
All right now.
Right.
A tender heart. See, I don't think that some of us know it sometimes, but your folk can be challenging.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They?
Yes, sir.
I'm just talking about them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We know.
They can be challenging sometimes.
Yes, sir.
When you call and they can't come, but mess around and you don't come.
Yes, sir.
I'm just talking about them right now. So the pastor has to have a tender heart.
Yes, sir.
And so what Peter writes in chapter number 5, he says, feed.
Yes. Feed.
Don't you love it when your little child won't eat the green beans that you prepare? Now, the green beans is really what they need.
Right.
But what they really want is the cake and the ice cream.
Right.
And so when you begin to feed, sometimes people don't want what you serve.
Right now.
Because I want something sweet. I want what I want, and I want it now.
That's
so sometimes in the process of feeding, you got to say, you know what? I heard what you said. I know what you're trying to do. But I'm going to have a tender heart about this thing, and I'm going to overlook what you just said, what you just did. And so in other words, what Peter is saying is that you got to feed the flock. And you got to feed the flock because one day they come to the church, and as time goes on, they get a little hungry. See, there's a place inside of you that you keep trying to put food and alcohol and sex, and God is saying, baby, if you don't put me in there, it'll never be filled. There's a place that is inside of you. Nothing but the Holy Spirit can entertain what is in there. Nothing but the Holy Spirit can calm that thing down. You got to invite God in your life, and you got to move patience in. Just how good he is. Have you ever paced the Lord? Have you ever found yourself down and out? And you say, oh, I need to pace the Lord. Lord, I need you to show up. Give me a blessing in the midst. He says, feed the flock.
Yeah.
Now, when he says feed the flock, he's not talking about food that we like. In the midst of going through something, you don't have to tell me to fast. If the right thing hits you, you'll stop eating.
Amen.
Let the right one walk out on you. Let the right situation happen. You can't eat anyway.
Amen.
And so you still have a responsibility as a pastor to feed. See, when food doesn't work that you buy out there, there's nothing like the word. That's what he's talking about. Feed the word. Be instant in season. When they want to hear, out of season. When they don't want to hear, you just preach. Thus said the Lord. And see, when you begin to say to God what God has said to you, in the midst of going through something, it ain't about you. His name is at stake. So I'm going through something. Now, God, all I got to do is tell you what you told me. And you told me that you'll never leave me, never forsake me. I just want you to know what you told me. Now, I know you remember. I know you know, God. But I just want you to know the word that I'm standing on. Because you said in the midst of me going through something that you'll supply all of my needs to be a path through. But you said you're going to supply all of my needs. I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to stand on hell or high water. I'm going to stand when no one thinks that I should stand. I'm going to stand just because of the God that I serve. But you got to know the God that you serve. You have to be in communion with him. In other words, you have to come in. And once you come in inside of him, he says, I'm going to come inside of you. And the two become one. And when the two become one, God says, baby, I can't let you go down because it's me going down. Because you said that you are Christian, which means property of Christ. Now, if I own you, you can't go down then. Because you got to know the God that you serve ain't no going down with him every time. He ain't. Somebody's putting it down. He says on the third day, he says, I rose again. See, you got to know it's the third day in your life. You got to know right now, right this night, it's the third day. You got to know that the God that you serve, he's a lifter. He's a lifter. Have you ever tried God to be down and out and he lifted you? Have you ever tried God down on your life and he lifted you? Have you ever been down and tried God? Why lift you up? Why do you turn your situation around? Why do you be a friend in the midnight hour? Why do you be a company keeper? Why do you be a friend to a troubled water? Why do you be a friend? So Peter says, feed the flock.
Alright.
I found that interesting. Because sometimes what the church is trying to do is run ministries out of the church to feed the world, and the flock is hungry.
All right now.
A true daddy, father, provider, elder, would always take care of his own children before he takes care of somebody else. To do otherwise, the Bible calls you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to take care of home.
Yes.
And so if you have somebody who's taking care of home, and I know he's taking care of home because I see the praise upon your face.
Yes.
And I feel the anointing that is in this place. So I know he's taking care of home.
Right.
It seems to me like you ought to be praying with him. It seems to me that every time he asks for something, you ought to be touching and agreeing with him and saying, Lord, make a way somehow. It seems to me if you got a daddy, you got a spiritual father that is covering you every time the church begins to go through something, like you ought to just grab his arm and say, no, baby, I'm going to stand with you and I'm going to hold you up. Listen, you better shout with me.
Right now, amen.
He's able to feed because he's able to feel.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I just love it. When I'm going through something and people tell me that they're going to pray for me, as they have a refrigerator full of food, it really comforts me to know that what I need, you have. But you jump spiritual on me.
Yes, sir.
What God is going to do. And God begins to tell you what he's already did for you so that you can be a vessel. Now, a vessel doesn't hold anything that goes through. What you have to understand is that God bless you to be a blessing to others. What you're holding is not your blessing. Somebody else got yours. But you got to trust God in order to let go. See, you'll never see what God has in store for you until you first open your hand. When you begin to open your hand, it's not so much I'm crazy. It's God, I trust you. And I'm going to release unto you, Lord. Because if you did it one time, I know you're big. I know you're bad. I know you're doing it again. And I know, God, something about your love, God. And when God begins to love on you, God doesn't give you what you gave. Something about God, he takes it, presses it down, and he begins to multiply. And he says, I want to increase this thing. You ought to try, God. He says, prove me now. Here we said, Lord, if I not open up the windows of heaven. Now, when God begins to open up the windows, not just financial, baby, I want prosperity. I want it all. I want health. I want finance. I want relationship. I want healing. I want it all. And so, God, I need you to open up the window. Stand on your word.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Mercy Jesus.
Peter says,
thank you, Lord.
Feed the flock.
Yes, Lord.
And he went on talking about how you're supposed to feed the flock. And you feed the flock because of a willingness in your heart,
yes,
not because of money. Don't you hate that?
Yeah.
Every time you go to church, you have $100 line, $50 line, and $75 line.
Yes.
Don't you hate that?
All right.
All right.
Amen.
You don't have to turn me upside down. I know what I'm supposed to do.
That's right.
Not only do I know what I'm supposed to do before I come to church, I've already wrote the check. If you want me to give, just preach the word.
Preach the word.
Because it's in season,
yes,
and out of season.
Yes.
And you don't even really have to ask. Oh, there's some knuckleheads every now and then. You have to slap them upside the head. But for the most part, don't you know that God is going to take care of you? Let me tell you something, just in case you got cute and just in case you lost this thing. Don't you know that this church will not fail if you leave?
That's it.
All right. Is that you have to have a tender heart, and because you have to be an example, you also have to have a tough heart.
All right.
In ministry, things don't always go as planned.
All right.
But you got a pastor that is determined to stand on the word of God, even if he's standing alone. Your image. And when you created me in your image, stuff. I don't get afraid when you tell me you're going to leave. I don't get afraid when nobody will drive the van. I don't get afraid when the mission music is at that. It's when you start one, Pastor. They got to know that when you started it, you was all that all by yourself. And you were praying here, you're coming back, and you feel that. And somehow God sent the others. And so now that God has sent them, I'm thankful that they're here. But at the same time, I got to stay true to the Word of God. In the midst of you going through something, you got to stay true to the Word of God. In the midst of your suffering, you got to stay true to the Word of God. Because the purpose of your suffering is because God is simply purifying you. And what God purifies, what He does, is He takes you and He drops you in the fire.
All right.
That's right.
And when God drops you in the fire, it seems like He forgets you, Brother Chuck. And you say, God, when are you going to show up? And He's saying, when it's time, whose time? He says, in due season.
Due season. That's right. That's due season.
I know why you're here. I know why I allowed you to be born. You better believe what I birthed inside of you, I want it back out of you.
Yes,
and so what God is saying is that I'm purifying you. And when you begin to purify, it begins to burn stuff off, all the impurities, and it begins to bring stuff up. And see, when you're going through something and you find yourself suffering, it's because God is breaking you up. And because what God has to do is separate you from your little ego.
All right.
You know your ego. Your ego is the thing that when somebody asks you to do something, you say that's not good enough for me. You know your ego. Your ego when you're going through something and pastor, they have to remind you that they have a college degree, by the way. And you say you can have a college degree, but if you don't have no Jesus, you don't have anything. I don't care about a degree. I don't care about a resume. Do you have some Jesus? Will you stand with me when everybody else walk out? Can I count on you? God is looking for faithful.
Yeah. All right, man.
And so He sends you through the fire.
Yes.
Because inside of you, God is saying, I just want to bust something out of you. I got to burst something out of you. Inside of you is what I created. And now is the time, now is the season. I'm going to allow you to go through something. And in the midst of going through something, when you think that you're cracked wide open and you think that you're going to die, you got to know that the only thing that is dying is your pride. The only thing that's dying is everything that is against me. What I'm trying to do is step into your spirit, man. What I want you to do is surrender to me. So I'm trying to kill you so that you can live and you can have life more abundantly. And God says something inside of you, I want it to come out. And because I want it to come out, I'm going to do whatever I have to do so it can come out. You did say have your way. You did say I belong to God. Now,
all right,
you start to do something. You really mean it. And God is saying, I want to have my way with you. I know where I'm taking you. I know the things that you have to go through. And so all I'm doing is cracking you. All I'm doing is breaking you. You see, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Gethsemane is a cracking. Gethsemane is when God reached out to Jesus and says, in Gethsemane, I'm going to press out of you all of the oil that is inside of you. I'm going to press out of you all of the anointing so that when you are sinning, the Holy Spirit can unsin. And when the Holy Spirit comes down, the Holy Spirit begins to be sin. Now the Holy Spirit is packed up in all of us. Now you have the power to do what God is calling you to do. You better be glad that God is pressing something out of you. You better begin to praise God that He's bringing you out. You better begin to praise God that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You better begin to praise God that He created you to be the head, not the tail. You better praise God. Listen in closing. You can only praise God if you know God. And so what God is trying to do is trying to get you to have a relationship, trying to get you to come on in and have hot dinner with Him. Come on in and eat some word with Him. And so God is saying, I'm going to open up the church and I'm going to put a shepherd over the house. And now the shepherd has a responsibility to feed my sheep. Now all he has to do is give you the word. Baby, I know you think you need this and you need that, but the truth of the matter is all you need is a word. In the midst of your sickness, all I need is a word. God, you said about your sights, I'm healed. I just need a word. In the midst of going through something, they talk about foreclosing on a house. Let me tell you what my dad is saying. My dad is saying that my God God shall supply all of my needs. Baby, be crazy enough to take this one and watch God give me another one. You pull that car, watch God give me another one. You got to be sold out for Christ. You got to know the God that you serve. Have you ever tried God? Have you ever been down to your last night? I'm talking about living down. And you needed a friend, and a friend wasn't there. But God says, I stay closer than any brother. What a friend he is. Have you ever been down sick and somehow God touched you and instantly you were healed? In the midnight hour you were crying and God dried your tears. What he dried your tears? Have you ever tried the Lord? Have you ever tried the Lord? Ain't he alright? Ain't he alright? Lord, he made the way. Ain't he a battle line in the time of a storm? Won't he sit closer than a brother? Have you a friend to the end? Have you ever tried the Lord? Have you ever tried? I'm to my God, sent Jesus. And Jesus shut forth on an old rugged cross. And he says, I'm going to die for them. And when I die on the third day, I'm going to get up with all powers. And he gave you those powers. Do you know who you are?
All right.
Under the circumstances. What you doing under that? What you doing under that? That ain't your house.
All right.
You got to raise the height. You got to know who you are. And you got to know whom you belong.
That's right.
When I know who I am and who I belong,
that's right.
The one thing that I know, instead of going through something, the Bible declares that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. All I gotta do is wait. You say unemployment. I don't care what you say.
Okay.
I'm gonna wait. Now don't you think for a second I'm sitting here and I'm not doing anything.
All right.
Because what I understand is that my works is not the stuff that I do, it's the prayers that I got. See, and when I begin to pray about something, God steps in. And when God steps in and I can step out of it, I can wait on it. Because I know he's faithful. I know he's just. And I know he's true. I know about his amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You got to know the God that you serve. Come on and stand with me in the presence of the Lord. God is inviting you right now to come and commune with
him.
He wants you to come in and just eat a little bit of his word. That's all God wants you to do.